South Africa's real estate sector is showing promising signs of recovery, nudged along by falling interest rates and some encouraging economic news, not to mention being removed from the Financial Action Task Force grey list and the credit rating upgrade by Standard & Poor's to BB. Now, JLL Africa is South Africa's premier real estate provider and has a front row seat to what is happening in the property market. Joining us now is Hugh Hardy, Head of Tenant Representation for Sub-Saharan Africa at JLL. Hi, Hugh. Thanks very much for your time. And tell us a little bit about the market. There seems to be renewed confidence, not just in the property sector, but across the broader economy. Is this what you're seeing?
Hi, Kieran. Thanks so much for having me. Yes, yeah, I agree with you. We are seeing cautious optimism that has been growing over the last year. We're hoping that the recent delisting from the grey list and our credit rating upgrade will result in increased foreign direct investment, which should see more entrants into the South African market. We're getting a sense that occupiers are willing to commit to longer-term leases instead of insisting on much more flexibility. And we're seeing this as a sign that businesses are willing to be here for the long term. We still do have continued uncertainty around US tariffs and the impact on South African jobs and businesses. We are already seeing the effects of this on our automotive industry clients. But I think overall, based on the positive indicators we're seeing, we're pretty optimistic for 2026.
Okay, so let's just zero in on one or two sectors. I'm curious to hear what the trends are like in the office sector, which of course was devastated during and after COVID. What trends are you seeing there?
Yeah, sure. Thankfully, there has been some relief for landlords in the past year with lowering vacancy rates in office, particularly for premium and grade A stock. We think the demand is primarily coming from tenants who are increasing their return to office policies more so than new entrants into the market. I think in general, we're seeing a continued, what we call, flight to quality. Our clients prefer to take better space, even if this means compromising on how much space they take. And I think this is interesting because to enforce back-to-office policies, a lot of companies are having to compete with the comfort of their employees' homes. So in order to earn that commute and encourage the back-to-office shift, they're having to invest in higher office and higher-end fit-outs. I think for B and C grade office vacancies, we've also seen these coming down, but not to the same degree. Landlords are still under pressure. The reduction of B and C grade office vacancies, I think, is partly due to the take-up of space by large BPOs and call centers, and also the conversion of some of the office buildings into residential properties, but thereby taking that stock out of the market. Another continued trend that we're seeing is for secure precincts. We've seen great demand for Interprop's Oxford Parks in Rosebank. Another good example is Waterfall City, which is being developed by TAC. And Rabi and Cape Town are developing out more buildings in Century City. And it's the one place where we're seeing green shoots in office where the landlords are willing to build on spec without having the buildings fully tenanted.
Is it the same story in the industrial property sector? And particularly, what segments of industrial property are doing well?
I think the industrial property sector has generally performed better since COVID. I think it's the one sector where you can't work from home. You have to be in a specialized facility if you're going to be doing anything to do with industrial or logistics. The increase in demand that we've seen over the last year has specifically been around e-commerce. There's been a push for supply chain logistics facilities, cold storage for food, and data centers, which is not surprising. I think e-commerce is going to continue pushing hard over the next year. And it's not really a surprise to anyone, especially me, given how much shopping my wife is now doing online. The problem with industrial is we've got a general lack of grade B stock for warehouse units over 10,000 square meters. So in order to meet that demand, we actually need to build. We had a significant gap between what tenants are willing to pay for existing building and the rentals which the landlords are charging for new development. And there's many reasons for that. But just to give you an example, tenants are generally willing to pay somewhere around 50 to 75 rand per square meter net for existing stock. But for new developments, landlords are demanding rentals up between 85 and 105 rand per square meter, depending on the specification. But there's a definite gap that needs to be filled. That being said, we do have very bullish companies in the market. Equites in particular are leading the way with large speculative developments in the R21 corridor. They're rolling out spec-built units one at a time and are relying on securing tenants after the fact. And it's been a recipe for success for them. So much so that the other funds are starting to follow suit. So we've seen Broadpoint, Attack, M&T and Ulin also starting to build spec build in the same areas.
And the spec build, is that something fairly new in the market? And why do you think they're prepared to take that risk themselves? They obviously feel very confident that they'll be able to let at the end of the day.
I think Equitas has done it successfully 7 times in a row now. So they've got a proven track record of being able to get it right. The reason for spec build now is that there's a, call it a 12 to 18 month lead time between signing a lease and having a building ready to go. Most new entrants into the market aren't willing to wait that long. So there's a good chance that if you build it, they will come.
Okay, now let's talk about 2026, just around the corner. We seem to have hit a bit of a sweet spot in South Africa. You know, in the intro, I said we've had this credit rating upgrade by S&P. We've been taken off the grey list. Encouraging drop in unemployment figures. So are you seeing this reflected in the demand for space from where you're sitting?
Yes, to a degree. I think over the next year, we're going to see a slow and cautious increase in the supply provided by developers, both in P-grade office space and in logistics-type warehouses. I think e-commerce-type spaces are primarily being developed out by third-party logistics users like RTT and Siva Logistics. I think possibly the return to office more than the increase in employment is driving demand for the office sector. So the trend of back to office and that fight to quality will continue. I think given our market optimism, though, from a tenant behavior perspective, we're hoping to see tenants being willing to commit for longer leases. So instead of demanding as much flexibility as possible with things like break options, they'll be able to achieve savings by offering longer leases to landlords where the landlord's main incentive is a weighted average lease expiry as long as possible.
Now, tell us a bit about JLL for those who may not know what you do. And you've announced some recent changes. And give us also your geographical spread. You are a big company. So tell us a little bit about the company.
Start off with JLL is a global professional services firm. So that means we're in over 80 countries across the globe. We've got more than 100,000 employees, and the company is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Across Africa, we can provide services in almost every country where either we have an office or we have a best-in-class partner who can assist. The types of services that we provide in South Africa, it's really about tenant representation, everything to do with commercial and industrial leasing. We have a capital markets team, which is everything to do with the buying, selling, and valuations of properties. We've got Tetris, which is office design and build, project and development services, strategic consulting, and hotels consulting as well. I think the biggest change we've made is to change how we work with our clients and to focus on providing our clients with a single point of contact, make it easier to work across all the business lines I mentioned before. I think as a client coming in, being presented with a long shopping list of things that we can do can be quite daunting. So it makes more sense to rather have a single person that you're working with. I'll give you a good example of where this has worked for us recently is we did an office relocation for Warner Music Group. Which was quite exciting. They had a consolidation of 2 separate offices into a single lease premises. So we did tenant rep did the leasing. We had Tetris doing the office design and build. We had our project and development services team doing the project management, cost management services. And overall, it went off without a hitch. And we've now won international awards for the design and execution of that project.
We're going to leave it there. That was Hugh Hardy, Head of Tenant Representation for Sub-Saharan Africa at JLL. Thanks very much, Hugh.
Thank you, Karen.